asking for bread or are we asking for anything from God? Behold, look closely while you're patiently waiting for the Holy Spirit to move and follow Him when He does. Have we been asking the Holy Spirit to fill us, to help us, to give us peace, to convict us, to comfort us, like He was faithful to help Jesus? Have we been asking the Father through the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to change our weeping into joy, to change our mourning into dancing, to guide us and empower us, to give us understanding into languages that we don't know, or to clothe us with power from on high to accomplish and get great exploits for God, to command spirits or to call upon the name of Jesus, to command spirits to depart and see them departing, to see the kind of glorious deliverances of God that we recognize and see in the Gospels, but here in our day and age, to remind us daily that we're at war, that we accomplish nothing good without Him. Concerning the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit, witness strategically and look carefully while you patiently wait for Him. The disciples do this. They do this. You see that in the final verses of our passage today, verses 50 through 53. Jesus leads them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. And while He blessed them, He parted from them and He was carried up into heaven. And He disappears from their sights in the cloud. And then the disciples worship Him. And they return to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Concerning the promise of the Father here, receive Him by faith and worship Him with great joy. That's what the disciples did. Now God had been taken, God the Son had been taken out of their sight. They could not see Him anymore. So by faith, their hearts were welling up and overflowing with worship. By faith, they worshiped Him. They could not see Him. They had not yet received the Holy Spirit within them. He, of course, dwelt among them, but they had not received Him yet. And yet they worshiped Him by faith. And they stayed in the temple, blessing God or celebrating God. And they went about declaring the mighty acts of God. Again, are the mighty acts of God enough for us just to go and declare? Is the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ coming and living a perfect life and suffering opposition and then suffering persecution and then being crucified and dying and being buried and being in the tomb for 3 days and then rising from the dead and then ascending to the Father? Is that news? Is that mighty work enough for us? Is it enough? Yes, it is. Listen closely, church. Witness strategically. Look carefully and wait patiently. And then receive the promise. Receive the promise of Holy Spirit. And walk in obedience to Him. And worship with great joy. One of the tools, one of the weapons that God has given to the church, one of those weapons that Corinthians talks about, divine weapons that have power beyond what our flesh can do, is the weapon of worship, is the weapon of faith. We worship Him by faith. Those are at least four words of wisdom from the Father that I see here in these texts. There are at least three thou shalt nots in the New Testament where I see God speaking concerning the promise of the Father. And I'm not going to unpack those for you. I'm going to speak about them later tonight at the shore as we prep to pray for VBS and for the children of our community. But I'll just mention these three thou shalt nots that I see in the New Testament. Did you know that there were some thou shalt nots in the New Testament? We often associate them with the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments. But just follow me here as we bring this message to an end. 1 Thessalonians, fathers here, if we want to operate effectively in being who God has made us to be as witnesses, these are some things that we need to stop doing. If we're doing any of these things, we just need to stop. We need not to do these things. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not try to pour water on the fire of the Holy Spirit." It's kind of a knee-jerk reaction to do when we see even good, powerful, mighty, fire-like works of God happening. It's not comfortable to be next. It's not comfortable to be that close to things that are igniting and perhaps burning and exploding. Because we sometimes get burned by these things. Sometimes we get ruined by the great works of God. And it's a glorious ruining. It's not a bad thing. Again, it's the gooder and the ugly things of the good works of God that we've got to declare and go right along sometimes with these ugly, gory things that God is at work doing. And sometimes God's children get burned up doing the great works of God. For every Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God delivers through the fire, there's 100 men and women whose bodies have been consumed. They're ruined completely. They're gone. But it's glorious. There's a gloriousness in that ruining. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not try to put your fire hose on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to get into these very much, but I'll move on to the next here. The second thou shalt not in the New Testament, Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." If you feel sad about something, it's probably an indication that God is sad about that. Don't do that. Whatever activity, whatever place it is that you go, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then finally, Acts 7:51 says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." If we would hope to bear much fruit in light of the promises of God the Father here, we must not resist, we must not grieve, and we must not resist the Holy Spirit. We must receive Him. And that's what I want to end with today. First of all, we can just receive. We can receive God. God the Father has sent God the Spirit that's dwelling among us and within some of us today. And the Spirit prompts us, constrains us, calls us, suggests to us, leads us, comforts us to welcome Him, not just around us, but even within. To invite, to receive is probably the best word, to receive the gift that God has given. It's a gift held out to us today in the good news of Jesus Christ that we can receive Him. We can invite Him to lead and to prompt and to constrain us, just like the Holy Spirit did over the ministry and the person of God the Son, Jesus. Spirit led Him, prompted Him, granted Him the grace to move and to have His being and to accomplish the great works of God. Welcome Him in now. Welcome Him. Taste Him and see that He is good. Secondly, then, do what God has called you to do. And more than just called you to do, He's made you into a witness. Go and witness. And I don't know if everybody got one, but I had some little cards, a little piece of paper. And I don't know if there's any left, but if not, just take your bulletin. And I want to finish today with you taking that piece of paper and just writing down a name of someone that perhaps you're already praying for, or you think about, or God has prompted your heart to be a father to, whether it's a physical, tangible serving of a father, or whether it's being a spiritual father to a person. Take and write down the name, or a spiritual mother to, or a spiritual brother or sister to, beyond just fathers here today. Take and write down the name of a person and begin to pray for that person. Set that card then somewhere where you're going to see it every day and begin to pray for that person every day that God would give you an opportunity to declare the mighty works of God to them. Just see if it's enough. Just tell them about the great works of God. Just boast in God and the works of God and the presence of God, what He's done, what you've seen Him, and what you've heard Him done. Testify. Write that name down, put it in a place, and begin to pray that God would give you an opportunity to share the gospel, the mighty works of God, with that person, and to participate in their baptism, perhaps within the next year. Set a goal, set a time, and say, hey, within the next year, I'd like to stand in the water of the baptisms, maybe out at Chubb Lake this summer, or maybe here in the sanctuary among God's people, or somewhere in Lake Superior if you're really strong and courageous, and participate in the baptism and the testimony of another coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So it's an opportunity, again, to participate in introducing one to this good God who has given us the promise of Himself. Put that somewhere where you see it. And bear much good fruit then throughout this coming year. And now, church, now if we only had a song that would declare the mighty works of God with which the men of the church could come forward and practice declaring what we have preached today, what they have just learned and heard about the promise of the Father. And come on, men, come on, fathers. Let's come to the front of the congregation and let's boldly be a witness to what we have seen and heard and what we know the Father has done in us. We need the men of the voice. Fathers and men of the landing, it's time to witness. It's time now to boast in the Lord among the congregation and declare the mighty works of God to the nations. Come now forward and participate in the boasting of God's good gift of Himself, His works on your behalf. And we will lead you then in our final song before the throne of God. Let's stand together. You're welcome to just listen now, or you can join right in and sing with us. like to pray with someone or have somebody pray for you, please come forward here or remain forward. And if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit, if you would like to be baptized, come forward and share that with us. And now may the grace of God and may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, may your whole soul, and may your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go.